I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Okay, let's get to the next game. Bulldogs defeat Tigers, 26-22. Look, Bulldogs absolutely dominated most of this game. Late push from the Tigers, which is, like, good on them. Late push. But for most of this game, the Dogs absolutely... Look, it looked like a top-eight side versus a bottom-eight side. Mm. That's what I reckon. Matty Burton, in my notes, I was like, as soon as he starts running the ball, he is electric. The game just opens up for him. When he thinks run first before pass, he kills it. Outside of that, I thought Karaz again, seriously becoming one of my favourite players. I've been saying it for ages now. I love Karaz. He is truly someone like, and he's not going to break the bank in regards to re-signing, but he is a clubman. Like, you do whatever you can to have him around for 10 years at the club because he rips and tears every game. This is his stats from the weekend. 25 runs, 283 metres, 78 post contact, 6 tackle breaks. Like, that is a massive knock.
And being a winger running 283 run metres without a line break.
Yeah.
It's just tough metres.
It's tough metres. That's all it is. Literally all it is. The Doggies, I thought, looked absolutely fantastic. Disappointing the last 10 minutes that they allowed the Tigers to get back into it. But for most of the game that I watched anyway, in my opinion, I thought the Dogs looked absolutely fantastic. Matter of fact, they went into the break, I think, like, what, 16-8 maybe, or 16-6 or whatever. Mm. They should have been up 20-6 because, unfortunately, Max King had one of the great Barry Crocker 10 minutes where he threw the ball towards the ground and then he threw an intercept pass. It's a 12-point turnaround. So they should have been up by more. I thought the Bulldogs were fantastic.
David Clemmer, former Australian front rower, he had the second most post-contact metres in this game with 46, and he had a line break that added to that. And Jacob Kiraz still beat that by 30 or 40 metres.
It's crazy.
Unbelievable what he's doing. And, yeah, mate, I think the scoreline really flatters the Tigers. And credit to it for however the hell they managed to do it, getting back into this game. But I thought that if Canterbury just would have put together one set after points in the first half, they would have blown them off the park.
Mm. I will say one thing though, Guru, and like I'm the same as you boys in that I thought it was the Dogs were clearly the superior side in this game. Two of the Doggies' tries were off, you know, an intercept try, length of the field, and then another one off just a kick, a return, a counter attack where they went the length again. So you take them 2 hours, which could easily have happened, two tries on the board. I don't think the Tigers were good, don't get me wrong, but...
But one of the Tigers was an intercept as well.
Yeah, yeah.
I just feel like when you saw both teams in good ball, it was evident, as you said, one looked like a top eight, one looked like a bottom eight.
The Tigers' attack was so bad.
Oh, man.
So it was hard to watch. And I think probably didn't help that Adam Dewey, it was 50-50 at best all week to play with that. He had a bruised foot. He just didn't look right in this game.
Then he got moved to fullback, though, towards the end, I think.
Yeah, they dragged Noffa.
Staines went to the wing. But what's crazy is they've just replaced Laurie with Staines. So, like, I understand they dragged Noffa, but, like, if you want Staines to be your long-term fullback... Mm. Oh.
And then as a result of all that, Wakeham came on, and I thought had some really nice moments, and Brooksy, to that point, had a bit of a stinker, and I was sitting there, had in my notes going, I think they need to give him a kick up the ass and drop him and give Wakeham a crack. And then Brooksy went on to have a 15-minute blinder to finish the game. It was like, oh, he's sort of hanging by a thread. But what do you reckon, boys? Do you give Wakeham a crack or?
Fuck.
Oh, I was sitting there going, Brooks has to be dropped at the end of this game. Then he played 15 minutes. This was great. And I go, did he just make more problems than give solutions?
Yeah.
He didn't win the game anyway. And now it's harder to drop him from the side. And yes, Wakeham came on and did some really good things. But and I don't hate Wakeham, to be honest. I think whenever he plays for Fiji, he's good. But I think he's shown that consistently you can't rely on him at an NRL level.
But like, can you rely on Brooks at an NRL level?
I wouldn't. I know someone that would, though, and they wear orange.
I don't know, man. The Tigers, I don't know. Like, why are you moving Staines? Like now, so what, is Dewey fullback now at the club?
No, Laurie will come back in this week, I believe. He's got a knee injury, so if not this week, next week. But it's weird.
And, like, even giving David Nofaluma the hook, like, why? He's been doing this exact same thing for 10 years there. Him having the occasional poor defensive read, the occasional error, it's not like you woke up, you realised at halftime, you say, oh, fuck, Nofaluma's got some things in his game we need to fix. It's been this guy for 10 years.
Oh, man, I don't understand anything, seriously. Like, I got no idea. I mean, let's talk about the positives. Tigers fans, it must be tough, but I think there's serious problems at that club. Like, unfortunately, at the end of the day, they aren't. Are they playing better than they were at the start of last year, honestly?
I'm not convinced they are.
Like, that's what's concerning. And, like, the whole argument, you know, by some in the media, not everyone, but some people, like, the players are too soft to get on Madge's tough training schedule and rah, rah, and it was always the players' fault, always the players' fault. This is a new roster. And, like, it's the players' fault in regards to the players take responsibility for the way they play. No denying it. But at what point do you have to go, the problem is clearly, if you've got a whole new roster and they're still playing poorly, something else needs to be fixed. Like, look at the Broncos. They've changed all up above, and all of a sudden you're seeing these results, like Timmy, we spoke about it every week, but off the field matters. And unfortunately right now, the Tigers, it just, I don't know what's going on at that club. I got no idea how they haven't jagged a win. And, you know, after last week's game, the amount of pressure they would have been under to be like, come out and perform well. They lost two games at home at Leichhardt. They go against the Dogs, who are also a bottom eight side currently in regards to compared to last year. I just don't know where they go. I don't know where they go.
Mate,
I'm lost for words.
What do you say? I don't know. I hope I'm not being over the top when I say it, but if I'm Benji Marshall, I don't know if I want to take this
abort mission.
Yeah, I'm being 100% serious. I don't know if it's worth me to start my coaching career here because it could be over before it starts.
And, like, do you even want that in your life?
Why would you?
Like, seriously, rocking up, stressed out of your mind, under the pump by the media, like, I think there's better things to do with your life.
And I question.
I'm being serious, bro.
100%.
It's not to say Benji can't be a good coach at all. I'm just talking about, like, who would want to be head coach? A, of an NRL club, for one, but then also a club that seems to be struggling.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, I hear people say, yeah, but Benji will be able to attract players. That's not the problem. You've attracted the best players you've ever attracted in your existence. You haven't solved the problems. Like, the other thing that I'm not sure if it's going to work, and I'm happy to be proven wrong or whatever, but Dewey and John Bateman on that edge, I think they're too polarising with each other.
It's going to be interesting.
Yeah. Dewey's either run or cut out. And John Bateman's either give it to me early or I come under you. Yeah. And that's it. They are the complete opposite footballers. Personally, when IPAP's back, I'll be playing him on the left edge. I'll be playing Kapoa, who I've been really impressed with, on the right, and put Bateman at 13, I think. Because I reckon that Dewey-Bateman, that's trouble waiting to happen.
I like the IPAP call. Dewey needs a hard line-running back rower that can just hold up defenders, where Dewey can just go, gets an ounce of space, show and go, bang, too big, too strong, try. But Bateman couldn't be anything for it.
Bateman did it once for him yesterday, and Dewey almost got him killed.
Yeah.
Yeah, he dropped the ball. Because it was
late,
it was
almost
a late
in a
pass.
Coffin. Yeah. It was brutal.
And then Bateman was like, you know what, fuck this, and just did a grubber for himself, kicked it through, and nearly bloody scored himself.
Yeah. And of course, in unfortunate Tigers fashion, the ball bounced up.
If he has a Raiders jersey on, he scores that try.
Without a doubt.
Seriously, it was the worst bounce in history. Yeah. Like, you know, for all the you know, we say we don't understand what's going on at the Tigers. A lot of it is bad luck. Like, it just doesn't seem to be working. Like, there's a lot of people behind the scenes working super hard, but clearly the problem can't be identified. Like, it's not trying to... I think people think when a club is struggling that people aren't working hard. That's not the case. Like, people, there's plenty of people at Tigers working their asses off to turn this around. But unfortunately, like, it is just not happening, man.
One shining light for them. Put a bit of positivity their way. I thought Brent Naden had some great moments again.
I rate really Brent Naden. I say week in, week out. Yeah, he is a super talented outside back. Super talented. He just floated around a few different clubs and hadn't really found his spot, but he's been really good this year. And I've always been surprised that one of the top tier clubs hasn't picked him up, because I genuinely believe he could be an elite tier centre.
Yeah, I thought he's been great all season. And without taking anything away from him, I don't know how on earth he got away with that forward pass at the back end.
Didn't he shoulder charge someone at the end as well?
Yeah, yeah. and you could see the frustrations were high for Tigers at the end. You could see Bateman getting frustrated. There was a moment there where Joe O, he got the ball when he wasn't meant to, and he wasn't happy. And it's just, I don't know. And then they go to Melbourne to play Melbourne next week with Munster back, we think. It's tough.
I mean, glass half full, Alex Toll, outstanding knock. Then you've got, obviously, the Naden played well. I thought David Clemmer had a red-hot crack. Like, you know, a lot of people... I see some comments where, like, people are like, oh, he only stands up to halfbacks. I'm like, have we been watching the same Clemmer?
God.
He has been ripping and a-tearing for 10 years. And unless I'm misremembering a time where he backed down from a forward pack, I can't...
Not at all.
Have you remember Clem ever backing down from anyone?
No.
I remember in Origin him literally saying, fuck you, to Corey Parker's face.
Yeah, go and tell Clem that to his face, that he backs down from forward pass.
I don't get that. If anything, he's consistently been the one bloke that rips and tears regardless of the forward back he plays. You know, so he's 51 minutes. He ran for 182 metres, 46 post contact, a line break, 25 tackles.
Clemmer hasn't averaged less than 150 metres a game in a year since 2014.
God.
That's insane. And it's like, how's that? That's like the epitome of never backing down to a pack, because you're doing 150 metres. You're doing all the tough carries in the middle. Like, anyway.
He made that line break late in the game, Clemmer. And you're like, here we go. On the front foot, dogged for backpedaling, rattled. Fifth tackle, goes to Brooksy, dummies, goes himself, tackled, changeover. It's like, oh, no.
There was another one. They had all this momentum. They had all this momentum, and then Brooksy kicked it dead, and you're just like, oh, fuck me. Like, I'd get that if it was a rookie half, but surely, like, Brooksy should be at the point in his career where he's nailing those six against. Like Reynolds. He should be like Reynolds, just putting them in. Townsend, just putting them in. Boom, every time.
And if... I've always been a fan of Brooksy, but if someone's going to nail a kick at the back end, I'm probably going to back Wakeman, because I just think Brooks is a shell of himself now.
Mm. We said it last week. I think he needs to go to another club and find himself again. There's a great footy player in there.
Yeah. 100%.
There bloody is. And I don't care what anyone says, and I know he's underperformed at the Tigers. I get all that. There is a great footy player in that bloke. He just needs an opportunity at a club that is going to bring it out of him.
Yeah, and there's no shock that there's a theme to just about everyone here and underperforming.
The only bloke that doesn't, is the great Alex Twell. Ripping and a tearing. But he gets cursed too. He doesn't score a try. He's at another club. He wouldn't be cursed. He'd be scoring meaties every week. He was outstanding on the weekend. But yeah, I feel like we're going to get to round 10 and we're going to be saying the same thing with the Tigers. I don't know what to say. I don't know what the way to go from here. Like, even like Appy Coruscant has his moments, but he's not playing anywhere near as well as he was playing last year. There's a chance where he doesn't get picked for Origin this year if this continues, unfortunately.
I thought at least this week they went with Appy a little bit more.
Oh, for sure.
When he took off, like, there was an improvement there.
He's the only point of attack for them, essentially.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, he's still not at the heights that he was.
And I don't want to compliment the Tigers pack for going with their running hooker.
No, it's...
That's why you brought him.
Mm. But yeah, so he ran for 125 metres, two tackle breaks, 44 tackles, six misses. At least he was better this week. Look, to be fair, he has been coming back from injury, so maybe he'll build back into it. But it's just like, the hooker is only as good as the people around him. Mm. You know, you even look at Harry Grant. He's getting out and he's doing his best at the Storm to try and get people to run on the ball, and they are at times. Appy's in a similar situation. Like, obviously the Tigers are going worse than Storm, but... he can only do so much before he needs some help around the ruck.
Do they pick Nofaluma this week?
Probably not. If you're getting hooked as a winger, you're not getting picked next week, surely.
Agreed. And they've also got Mamalo's due back, possibly this week. It's this week or next. There's one ready. Mm. This week, yeah, I think wouldn't shock.
Hopefully they do.
Ever get the hook? The winger?
No. I was I prided myself on never having like shocking games.
Yeah.
In first grade, like I'd have quiet games, but
high
I wouldn't
floor.
Fucking. Yeah. I wouldn't have Barry Crockers. I mean, I wouldn't. I'm sure there's plenty of fans that thought I did. Now onto the Doggies. I mean, we've already kind of spoken about them a little bit, but how good was Alamotti?
Oof.
I mean, he's the slowest centre in the history of the game, but...
He was on the treadmill.
Jesus. But, like, just the intercepts that he... The intercept that he took and then obviously that line break that he made. So it was one intercept. What was the kick return?
Yeah, it was a Crossfield kick.
As a teenager, as a centre, also the confidence, like, to go... This is landing a little bit far away from Adokar. So many centres would have said, fuck that, that's not my job. My job is to let the winger take it. He had the confidence to go, nah, I'm taking this. Boom, lands. Then he sets up a try. You know, you called it, what, a year and a half ago. And we saw him in that trial against Newey Knights last year. And we're going, oh, he's a bit green. He's going to need a bit of time. But geez, he's developing into something special.
The play that I loved was the one where, and I think it was the one off the kick where, and we mentioned before, James Tedesco, when he made that tackle on Campbell Graham, he forced Campbell Graham into two minds. He defended that play really well. I thought the Tigers, the play where Alamotti had to go, Adokar, Alamotti. Yeah. I thought they defended that as best as they possibly could.
Still did it.
And it could have been an easy moment for him to panic and kick and do something stupid. He just waited till he was in contact and just backed himself in around the corner. Great to see.
And that's where he might be the slowest centre in the NRL, but he knows it. And he acted accordingly. Waited for Fox, looked for him. And then, I said, knew his ability. He wasn't going to outrun him at the back end of that. It was like, come tackle me. You won't. I'll still get the offload away.
Yep.
You'll have to come find me eventually. Then I'll make the play. He nailed it.
Yeah. I mean, that's a rookie. That's his third game of NRL. And he's got that calmness in open space.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, like people take years to get that kind of calmness.
And you could also tell by the body language of Josh Adokar that he knew he'd make the right play.
Yeah.
Because Fox wasn't panicking to get the ball. He just, yep, I'm here. You make it work, and he nailed it.
Kyle Flanagan, solid again, but I thought Matty Byrne was outstanding. I thought he was absolutely electric.
I had the exact same as you, Kemp. You mentioned at the top of the game. I had it written in my notes. I didn't want to see Birdo fall into that trap of how dominant that left edge can be. We haven't seen it yet, but we know all the hype around it. Just getting into that catch, pass, run, second mentality, and I was a bit concerned. And then he did the big show and go and went through. I was like, oh, we're going to be okay.
Oh, mate, 100%. And when he does put his foot down, he's quick. Whoa. He's deceptively quick. He almost, like, he moves in such a casual manner. It surprises you when he does hit the afterburners. I thought he was outstanding, and I think they're starting to find their groove. They're starting to find their balance. Like, Reed is starting to find where his balance is as well. You know, Kickouts had some good moments, but my boy Jacob Preston. He's a beast.
Oh, your boy.
He's my boy.
Jeez. He's going to jump over the table at you in a second.
How many boys you got, mate? Reece Walsh, Jacob Kiraz.
I'm the one that brought him up first, mate. I said that this Jacob Preston's got something
about him. You've got two boys on the same edge at the same team. Save something for the rest of us.
No, don't get upset that I was onto the young fella before you were, all right?
Still probably doesn't follow me on
No, all jokes aside, it's a great tip-up because he's fucking fantastic. Like, he is... I think it was one error that he... Oh, no, it wasn't even an error. He made a break and he passed and Naden batted it down. Like, he doesn't look like that imposing, but he must be super strong for his size.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, would you compare it to... Not saying by any means as good as Cam Murray, but similar to Cam Murray, and he's not a big bloke. He just goes and goes and goes. His tackle efficiency is unreal. Mm. He's pretty agile on his feet.
Yeah, it's a good shout. Like, he's deceptively strong in contact as well. Like, sometimes when he runs a short line, I'm like, oh, he's going to get jammed here. Nah, he handles himself really well. And, like, it's great for the Bulldogs because now they go from, you know, coming into this year was just like, how do we stop Kickout? How do we stop Kickout? Now you've got two beasts on an edge going, shit, both edge, you know, Burton and Flanagan have beasts again, hit these great lines and break the game open. Avrilo, another solid game, got through a bunch of work. There's one or two errors that he made, but I think he's him and Karaz are kind of building a misfits edge. If you know, they don't really suit they're not the superstars that are coming through that you're talking about all the time.
They feel like, in the most respectful way possible, the overachievers.
Yeah, but they're guns. Yeah. They're playing so well together. And like, they read each other really well. And they, it's almost like they're both quite humble in the way they play. They play like humble, solid, strong footy. They understand that they may not be, you know, as big as Suoliti or something like that, but, or even Alamotti to a degree, but they're going to battle their way through every single game. And I think that could be a good combination that grows quite a lot over the next few games.
Do we want our weekly update on Carl Oluwapu? How we went in?
Yeah, how'd he go?
Brought to you by Bloke in a Bar.
Yeah.
One line break, two line break assists, three try assists.
Oh.
To be fair, though, you've got to go with the pros and the cons. 12 tackles, 6 missed tackles. So still some work to do there. Mm. But you watch the highlights. You can.
So that's another bloke I tipped on everyone to. Fucking hell, I can read him, eh? I can read him early. He's a gun. I said that a year ago, Guru. You didn't want to believe me,
didn't
mate.
Didn't want to believe you.
Bloody hell. Fuck, that's some fair stats, though. For a rookie.
Kid in his 18. Third game of reserve grade.
They're halves in NRL that have got 6 missed tackles. So,
yeah.
Although, obviously, you don't want that heading into NRL.
He's also got the winger that was on his edge, this Jarrell Skelton that we've spoken about a little bit.
He's
Skelton. Put together a nice little season there.
Does Skelton have a brother, like a big forward?
Will. I think they might be cousins.
And he plays Union?
I think they're cousins. I don't think they're brothers.
Okay.
Yeah, I could be wrong there.
But what a win by the Doggies. What are they, two from three now?
After a train wreck beginning.
Yeah. Oh, looks so bad. And I don't know whether was that Manly just looked really good. Like, I don't know.
It's the beauty of this comp that it's just so hard to put together.
Yeah, it really is.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
But yeah, Seraldo, massive raps. That's two from three now. He's and I love the way they're playing. They're so expansive, exciting to watch.
I thought, mate, Reid Marnie's defense. I don't know how many tackles or missed tackles or whatever. There were some shots that he put on.
Oh, line speed. Oh, so good.
And his technique is unbelievable.
So good.
Being critical, he also missed a couple of important ones. I think not only the Charlie
He tries
Staines
too hard break, sometimes.
He had an absolute howl of a read to open that gap up.
Mm. Sometimes he's so competitive, he goes too hard sometimes. Yeah. He actually, I think it was Mick Ennis and at the Eels that they worked on it. Like, I think it was Mick Ennis that pulled him aside. I was like, mate, you don't need to be four in off a tap. Like, you can let someone else take that big hit. And so he's just got to find that balance sometimes between overworking himself and just getting the job done. But, mate, love Reid Marnie. Love him.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.